Welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners across the country where the program's broadcast, particularly the local traditional owners, the Jagera, Yagera, Turrbal and Yugrupul peoples, the Yugambeh, Mananjali, Kombamiri, Noonuckle, Quandamooka peoples. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners, tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Well, we're feeling the summer heat. It's got some bite. And, well, it's about time. I mean, we haven't had all that many hot days. And it's Christmas time. It's virtually on the doorstep. So it's not surprising that we do get that we feel the heat, we feel the burn of that sun. My guests today, we're talking to traditional owners of country up in Cape York. The country is largely there around Batavia Downs, about 90k west of Weipa, east of Weipa. Hang on, it's 90k west of, I'm sure it's west of Weipa. No, which way? Yeah, east. I'm getting my directions wrong, mixed up here, because on the way across, when you're driving from Cairns across, you go through past the Batavia Downs there. So we're talking about a native title determination around Batavia Downs. And this was just been announced about 2 weeks ago, 2 to 3 weeks ago. And today we talked to two people from over that way. Christopher Dean is joining me on the line, and Stephen Boyd. Christopher, welcome to the program. How are you?
Yeah, great, thanks. Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Tell us your mob, your country, Christopher.
Yeah, we're the Kanju mob up here at in the middle of the Cape.
You're at Lockhart River, and that's a lot of your mob there.
Yeah, some of us here. I found out Majority of them are down in Palm Island area. Just from the state lands dealing and getting together and talking to a countryman that's been moved off early days. Surprising a lot more people down south than up here.
All right. Well, we'll get you to tell us some more of the history of Kanju people and how people were moved off that country there around Batavia Downs in a little while. But we'll welcome Stephen Boyd from Palm Island, who's some of that Palm Island, the Kanju mob on Palm Island that Christopher's talking about. Stephen, welcome to the program. How are you?
Not too bad, Tiger, and good day to all listeners.
Now, you're on Palm Island?
Yeah.
You've been lived there for some time. Tell us your mob, your country.
Yeah, well, I'm a Kanju on my father's side, but on his mother's side, he's a Jitabal. She comes from the Jitabal tribe on Tableland, on the Atherton Tableland, and my mother's is a Kukuyalanji. Both her father is the Western Kukuyalanji, and her mother is the Eastern Kukuyalanji.
All right, so you're well connected into country up north of Cairns there then, or west of Cairns and north into Cape York?
Yes.
Well connected. Have you known of your Kanju connections across to the Western Capeway there for a long time?
Yeah, from a young age.
Right.
Full schoolboy age.
Okay.
Through listening to my grandmother who lived in Townsville, but that they were sent off the island during the day of the government. She always made sure that we had connections, always listened to about the connection to the country and where all the Kanju people that were sent to Palm Island lived.
So there's quite a few Kanju mob on Palm Island and around Townsville way.
Yep. Yeah, there is, yeah, and
what's
also
the story?
In Yarrabah.
And Yarrabah too, eh? What's the story for that, Stephen? Do you know? Can you tell us the story of how people were moved or when they were moved?
I couldn't sort of give you a full detail of it.
What do you know? What do you know about it?
Yeah, all I just know, like the old grandmother that I just told you about, she remembers being taken in a chain from, it was known as Batavia. It's now known as Wenlock, Wenlock River. But they were taken in chains from there and walked them to Cowan. And Cowan was like a sort of a pickup area for all the Murrays that were being sent to all the different missions at the time. And they were gathered up there and put on boats from Cooktown.
All right.
Yeah, they walked them to Cooktown.
Walked across the Cooktown, then come by boat down to Yarrabah, Palm Island. Palm Island. Right,
yeah.
And how do you feel then about this this land that's been handed back to some 240,000 hectares? How you feel about that one for your mob?
I feel pretty proud about that. Happy because there was a lot of negotiations and also I feel sad because many of the elders that started the fight to get the land back are no longer here, but I know in another sense they were here in spirit on the day that was the piece of paper that was the deed that handed to us.
That celebration, you felt that their spirit was there, right? They was there in spirit.
Yeah.
Now that's good. That's good. All right.
But I suppose because we didn't receive the deed on our traditional land, I think it's going to be even more better to go back to country and what the Department of Natural Resources promised that they will fund a trip for the TOs to go back and have a celebration in the new year.
Ah, that'll be something to look forward to, won't it?
Yeah.
Get the foot back on country, back in the dirt there.
Yep, kick up a bit of dust dancing.
You like to dance. You tell me you do some traditional dance, yeah?
Yeah.
So you're looking forward to kicking up some dust over there then?
Yeah.
Good one.
With pride, man.
Yeah, right? With your mob there. That is something to look forward
and
to.
And also countrymen up that way. All up on the Cape.
Ah, that's good. All right, let me cross to Christopher Dean. Stephen is talking to me from Palm Island, and I've got Christopher Dean talking to me from Lockhart, and they both mobs that they Kanju people. They're connected back to Kanju people over there, Batavia Downs. Christopher, Batavia Downs, and as Stephen said, is now known as Wenlock. But I remember driving past that sign and that road that says Batavia Downs when I've been driving to, I think it was Kawanyama I drove into a couple of years ago. Would that be right, Batavia Downs? Or is it when I'm driving from Weeper across to Arakoon? Is that's the where I go past Batavia Downs, isn't it? It's on that Arakoon Road.
That's him.
Yes, that's the one now, yes. Good.
Yeah, you come to the western edge of it there.
Yes.
From there it goes all east, yeah.
Okay. Now, the story of Batavia Downs, from what I just reading by country and looking at signposts when I'm driving past, because I don't know more than that, it looked like it's cattle property.
Yeah, well, it was just declared an experimental farm back under the Land Act in 1994 with the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries as trustees.
Okay.
Cattle property, and they tried this weed, panicle joint vetch, to see if the cattle would eat it.
Yeah.
So the cattle didn't like it. So now it's got all that weed requires quarantine measures to maintain it now.
What a stupid, What a stupid thing to do, to put something in to take up so much country, spread across so much country, and now it's got to be quarantined.
Yep, yep. And guess what? They give us that back. And guess what our job is to do now?
Yeah, clean them up.
Clean up that mess. Yeah, exactly, Rush.
Oh, no. That's typical. Come in with some stupid idea like bringing that prickly pear cactus fella, bring him in for pot plant, and then he take over the country and they can't manage it.
Rush. And that's the area they give us back as Aboriginal freehold.
All right.
That's only part of it. The other part that goes into a nature refuge, we have to give up some of our native title rights for that to take place.
Really?
No hunting and gathering and stuff like that, so...
By gee.
You really sit down and read between the lines, Brush, you know...
They give you with one hand and they take them away with the other one.
Yeah. Hey? And how did National Park come to this, Brush? National Park's a different mob again, so you see they've just given it to National Park to use as a bargaining chip to get the area, you know?
Well, whatever National Park can do, countrymen can do them a whole lot better. Traditional owners can do it a whole lot better because they know the country. They've always been there, never been off it since that first sunrise and shine. Yeah. So
here's the catch, Rush. All the money got to go into the national park for infrastructure and all that. We got to find our own money for that.
No.
Yeah, Rush.
Well, by gee, it takes a lot of the joy and the glory away from this. You really wonder what have you been given here, eh?
Yeah, and when we originally started negotiating, people want to see proper. They did no maps, just blank photocopied, you know, A4 paper. And people said, we want to see maps and we want to see connection reports where we all fit on the country.
Yeah.
We haven't had that until the final handover. And when we see the handover, we thought that Batavia property goes over the actual Wenlock River.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. That comes under the nature refuge.
Okay.
And that's the part we had to declare, we had to sell some of our native title rights, had to give up.
So you don't get the Wenlock.
No, we don't get the Wenlock River, Brush.
That's the lifeblood of your country, your stories, your spirituality.
That river is like the Ganges to us, Brush. It's a healing place. All the old people, they got to go and swim there before the rains fall, you know, before it gets diluted with rainwater again.
Okay, so...
That's one of the story places there, Brush.
Really,
and to lock us out is, you know...
That's criminal. That's nothing short of criminal. It's criminal.
Yeah, Brush.
No other word for it.
Yeah. And before one of the negotiations or agreements was that they would only give us that property if we had money in this account before the handover place. Otherwise, it'll just stay with the caretakers and with the state. When you really look at it, Brush, what have we really got?
What have you really got, eh?
Brush. Now, once we got that incorporated, that's when that World Heritage, you know, all the type of that World Heritage planning for the Cape and looking after.
Yeah.
I put an application straight away in for World Heritage over that block so we can plan and stuff like that.
Okay. Good.
Now that was that was the last government. Now new government come in, Campbell Newman. He said, they're going to give it to Balkanoo because Cape York Land Council's. Because they've got the clause in there that all future acts must go through them. And we just had the Lynn Wallace, she's the director for Cape now, dealing with this World Heritage. She was up here yesterday talking and said, only those people who got in last year before the new government got in, which was only a few couple of corporations, the rest got to go back under Balkanoo and Land Council to, they will do the dealing for us. So we're not really getting a chance to plan. As it says in the paper, like Leah said, you know, in the Indigenous Times back then, a couple of months ago. Not good. And just a word of warning for future mob that are going into this dealing. Just read the fine print.
Yeah.
But we still got six months to go yet, you know, before we can injunction and stuff like that. So that's why I made sure, hang on, we need a trial time just to see what's what and what is working and what we really signed and what we didn't really sign.
Okay. So you've not only got government mob dictating terms to you, you're now going to have countrymen, blackfellow mob, Balkanoo mob dictating terms too.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
And that one clause, all future acts must go through Cape York Land Council, so that's it. Anything in the Cape coming up, well, they've got to go through them. So a lot of us Indigenous corporations that are under ORAC, you know, we can go in competition with them anyway.
Right.
And, yeah. So it's really, yeah, Rush.
It's, yeah, you really wonder what they're given.
Yeah, and the Kaju area, it goes right down to the edge of Cowan airstrip. It goes right up, you know, we're about 400 kilometres square. They put us all in this little Batavia block now like this, see?
All right.
So we're going to use that. What I want, my plan is to use that group and all us mob together as you know, a powerful voice and thing to go around now and grab up, try and get all our land back.
Yep.
The southern cattle station to us is Picaninny Plains.
All right.
They're owned by the Australian Wildlife Conservancy. They just bought them out.
Okay.
And they come onto our boundary on the Lockhart Road to the Wenlock Sea. And there's some sacred water lagoons that just beside the road that we would like fenced off, you know, from cattle and people camping and stuff like that. Main roads using for pump out of water and stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
So I approached them and asked what were they like, and introduced me as same way like this, and could we work together? And they said, yeah, we're all for working with you, mob. They weren't too happy with national parks and how they do their business.
Yeah.
And they were agreed to go with us down the bottom, and same way, do a partnership deal, work with them differently on how we better terms.
That's good, yeah.
And if we don't like this Batavia deal, and if we're getting a better deal on the southern side, well, you know, they'll help us go back and say, look, we got a better deal south here. Can we get a better deal?
Okay.
We just began in with Rush.
Try and renegotiate better outcome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Rush. Hopefully.
Well,
back to a bit of history, Bush.
Yes, tell me about the Batavia Downs and how Kanju mob was moved off, walked off, because Stephen started to tell us about that, how they was walked off to Cooktown and boated down to Palm Island and stuff. Tell me what you know about your mob and the removal from Batavia Downs.
Yeah. Here's the connection with me and Stephen. We come from one great-great-grandfather. He was known by two surnames, Monkey Gordon or Monkey Boyd. Now, that Boyd family there, we're the Gordon family up here from grandma's side, see?
Right.
I got back the personal history from department a couple of years back, and this is his story. He was young for then. 1933, Christmas Eve, they were told to go down to the big mango trees, big celebrations there, same old story, Kilminya and stuff like that, and everyone come together. When they got there, they chained them all up and marched them out from there. All the women, everyone, all the way down, up to down to towards Cowan. They got to Archer, pull up there. Same, they had a big feast. Same story. Put on a big feast. Got some scouts to go around. Gather them mob up. Same old story. Coming for a feed. When they got there, chained them up and just start going. There was two police involved then, Sergeant Peace and Constable O'Neill. They were the two main actors. He's trying to bring these two mob to court for all the atrocities they've done, the whipping and killing and raping of our mob. And they marched him on that hot road down Christmas this time, Rush. She's hot and dry, and that road, you can't even stand on it, you know?
Yeah.
Every spot they got, they made the women, old women, sit on the ground. They made them lift their dress up, sit on the hot ground like that, Rush.
Rotten mongrels, yeah.
Yeah, Rush. This is my great-granddad telling a story. They marched him all the way down to Mariba, Rush, and then the trucks picked him up from there, took him to Palm Island now, and Mariba Hospital and all that. A lot of the old people had sickness from them old days, you know? But these two policemen now, they went around bashing all them up, breaking ribs and everything, Rush. And he's trying to get them to court and tell them all their atrocities and all that. My grandmother, she was only a two-year-old girl. That great-granddad hopped off his horse and put that old girl on, my grandmother on, when she was two-year-old. He come along, whip him, get back off that horse, make that girl walk, make his missus walk, put him back on that horse, like that, all the way down. He finally gets them two stick officers of the court, in the court, and because, same like today's story, because they're of the law, they didn't prosecute them, you know, the policemen, they didn't prosecute them. They sent the Sergeant Thies to Townsville. They sent the Constable O'Neill to Kewenden. Any Thies family in Townsville there, Bush? Thies mob?
I don't know, yeah.
Big construction mob there.
Is there? True.
Yeah.
Are you saying Thies, like T-H-I-E-S, Thies?
Thies, yeah, Thies.
Thies, yeah, the mining mob and construction mob, Thies, yeah.
Yeah, that's them. He might be one of them mob, you know.
Could be, eh?
He finally gets them to court, but they let him go and just send them out of the community.
Margie.
That's how they started moving off, and that's what's happened. They bash and whip and all that all the way down, brush.
So he would have lost some of them old mob, and even probably some of them kids would have been lost along the way, eh?
Yep.
Would have been passed away.
Pickaninny Plains, that's that other station now. That's what they call it, Pickaninny, because when them white people come, all them women and old people ran into scrap and left them Pickaninny there.
Yeah.
And they come and murdered the lot, bashed and shot.
Yep.
So that's one reason why, getting all this cultural thing back and getting people back. But, gee, Brush, it's a horrible history.
There's some sadness there as well, eh?
Yeah, Brush.
A lot of sadness.
To get an area full of weeds back to start looking after, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But just, Brush, it doesn't seem all, it's not like all peaches and cream like it seems in the papers, Brush.
That's right. Well, not too many native title decisions or determinations are. You always hear how people actually rejoice in getting a decision, but then they sit down and analyse and assess what it is they've got, and they realise they've lost more than they've won.
Yeah, but probably the best thing I probably appreciate out of it, they've identified a group of people in the Cape to a particular piece of land. We can start from there.
Yes, yes.
You know, we've got rights now. They say, okay, we recognise people from this area. So, okay, that's a start now.
Yeah.
We move on now. So probably all us kanji mob, you know, we want to start moving back on the country, getting on. Well, we'll start getting newsletters and stuff like that up now and start passing them around to communities and getting the feel and vibe of what people want to do and get back on country now.
What has...
Pick up where the last old people left off, you know?
Exactly. What's Batavia Downs got now? I mean, there'd be homestead, you got some caretaker managers, do you have some stock?
No stock, Brush.
Nothing.
Belong to the caretakers. One of the caretakers, the lady, she's part TO as well, so that's a good thing.
Okay, okay.
And they've got few head of cattle.
Uh-huh. But you inherited all them weeds.
We inherited all the weeds.
You've got to look after that one.
Yeah, and we didn't get the river.
Yeah.
And gave half it to National Parks.
All right.
But we're not going to let that get us down, Brush. Like, it's a start for a strong mob. We'll bounce back.
Of course.
And we can only build on here and look forward to the future.
That's right, that's right. Listen, let's pull up for a break. We'll have a song and come back to you. So we'll come back to Stephen and get Stephen to tell us a little bit about what the positives that he sees over there. So we'll come back to you both. My guests at the moment, Stephen Boyd, Kanju man, from Kanju Man and Kukuyalanji Man from Palm Island, because the Kanju mob was removed from their country across to Palm Island and Yarrabah and places. Christopher Dean, living on Lockhart River, the Kanju Man. And they're telling us about a big pastoral lease, big property known as Batavia Downs. And you drive past, you drive on the... on the western boundary of Batavia Downs when you drive from Arakoon, from Weipa, Napperton Way, across to Arakoon, and you go along the western boundary of Batavia Downs. So I'm talking to these men. They are traditional owners. They are Kanju people and traditional owners of country on Wenlock River and Kanju Downs. Stephen, what are your thoughts on hearing some of the comments and of Christopher? What are you looking forward to? What do you see the opportunities that is provided for your mob?
Oh well, I think for me it's real good for us. I think the comment from the old brother here, because he knows the country more better than me, because of my of where I live.
Yeah, of the removal of your family. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and so it's good that what is his comment, he knows it like the back of my hand, the land. So I'm pretty happy for him to be on the. I wouldn't mind him being the chairperson of the for the land trust, you know.
Yeah, no, you support him there, eh?
Oh yeah.
Like he says, you know, he's
100%, yeah.
Yeah, like he says, it's you want to start from the positive, and that is that it's you're back to home country. And sure, you might have missed out on some on Wenlock River and some other important parts of country, but still, at the end of the day, you're traditional owners, you're Kanju people, and you've got Kanju land. You've been recognised that way, so that's something to build on, something to work towards.
Yeah,
or work off. You work off that strong base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, we've still got some of our elders still alive, and you know, there's two that lives in Yarraba.
All right.
And they still speak the language strongly, you know.
Yeah. So, would there be plans for them old fellas to go back over there now to country next year for a visit?
Well, God's willing, if they're still around,
if they're well enough to travel.
It would have to be a fly-in sort of thing.
Mm.
Yeah, fly up to the to Batavia.
There'd be an airstrip there. I would take it, Christopher. Airstrip, a dry weather airstrip at Batavia.
Yeah, Bruce.
Yeah.
So yeah, you must remember some of these old people are pushing 100 now. One old fellow there, he's 101. He was born 1911. He witnessed all that thing. He witnessed my grandmother being put on that horse by that white fella now and taken away. So he was one of the ones that got away, Bush.
So you're able to be told. You've been told these stories from an eyewitness of some of those. That's amazing. Yeah.
He was at the handover as well, Bush. So,
he was there. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was brought down on the bus, Bush, sort of flown down. You know.
By gee, eh? They could have flown him in, eh?
Yep, yep. When the bus pulled up, one old lady around the same age had to be hospitalised because of the same rough trip, Bush, so on the bus. So.
On the bus from where? From Lockhart?
From Weeper.
From Weeper. And they could have flown in from Weeper out to Batavia?
No, we had it down in Gordonvale and Cairns, Bush.
Oh, it was over Gordonvale. Sorry, yes, it was too. You haven't been back to country yet. It was over in Gordonvale. So they've been bus from Weeper to Cairns to Gordonvale.
Yeah, and $200 trip, you know, on Qantas from Weeper to Cairns. I mean, surely they've got to put a couple of old people
by on the plane. Gee. Oh, that's this story getting worse. You better go back. I better stop talking to you. This story's getting worse, my brother.
Yeah,
but no, like you say, there are some positives. But really, I mean, this is good that you and Stephen are able to tell of the experiences and tell the stories of your old people to all this different mob.
The way we've been controlled is last time, like we're living in the old days. At Jarrigan Wilderness Centre where we had the thing, handover, he was on a private property. So the gate was locked and only a couple of people had the key. So, you know, we had to be patrolled, you know, be here before 12:30 or you'd be locked out or wait till the cook comes. And, you know, they had it, at Lotus Glen or somewhere, you know?
Yeah, sure. Lotus Glen, the correctional centre, the jail. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
That's how they had it. That's where Jarrigan, that Wilderness Lodge is. It's out on the property. It goes through a private whitefellas yard first, so he got gates there and no one, because he got horses and cattle running around. So you'd all wait there together, 10 cars, and you all go through together so you're not disturbing much. And then once you're there, no phone reception, no nothing.
Oh, my goodness. So you was either locked in or locked out?
Yeah, Bush.
What role did Balkanu play in this? Were they involved in this at all?
Yeah, they're a sister organisation to Land Council. See, Land Council is non-for-profit. They can't make money, so they develop Balkan Development Organisation to handle all that stuff.
They do all that corporate work, commercial stuff.
Yeah.
So they played a role in organising this event?
Yeah, well, they get all the money now. They get contracted to do it all.
My goodness me.
Mm.
And Noel Pearson, boss for that one?
Yep, that's him.
Yeah, he's making good
and
boss.
That's why all future acts got to go through them.
Yeah.
For the Cape. See, only for the Cape.
Yeah, yeah. No, only for the Cape. Yeah.
Mm.
But a lot of people think he bossed for all of us across the country. All countrymen.
Yep.
Hey? Yeah.
Same here, Bruce.
Oh, my goodness me. Well, my brother.
But inside that Batavia strip, there's a 20-kilometer strip each side for the gas pipeline.
Okay.
That we have to give away as well, see?
Okay.
And that's right, 20 kilometers from the main road up the guts, 20 kilometers each side. So that's.
That's a big swag of country, eh?
Again, yeah.
Yeah.
When you really. I should put all this on the paper, eh? We get 60 minutes up.
Yeah, yes. It's. This story. It's good that you're able to tell this story because.
Yeah, but just let other people. Because they're going to go, gee, 3 or 4 or 5 other national park dealings as well, these might want to go through yet.
Yeah.
Which is known as on in the Cape somewhere. So people listening, beware.
Christopher, do you have access to the expertise, legal expertise, and people like that to...
That's what we haven't got up here. We're in the dark, you know?
Right. Okay. Yeah, it gets more clear.
There was a legal officer appointed, but for us on our behalf. But he was paid by Balkanu, contracted by Balkanu.
Yeah. So you got nobody from the people, or representing the people himself.
Nah, Bruce.
All right. Well, see, just last week I was interviewing a mob from down around Bundaberg way there, Gurang people, and they've got. And Terry O'Shane, he's Stephen would probably know Terry O'Shane.
Yeah,
he's
top cook. Top
he
countryman.
Countryman for Stephen, Cooker Yalanty man. Yeah. He's the Northern Land, North Queensland Land Council have established a memorandum. It's a compact of understanding or something with the unions, where the unions are supporting them Land Council, and they're now done the second. The first one was done with North Queensland Land Council. Second one was done only a couple of weeks ago with Gurang Land Council around Bundaberg Way. And what those unions are doing is offering those specialist services and access to resources of the union. So union mob coming in. Now there's 17 different unions coming in to support those countrymen, those land councils, and there's only two of these agreements in place so far, but they're looking to establish more. So maybe I exchange some details with you fellas, and give you some contacts for this union mob and Stephen. If you're talking to Terry O'Shane, and even for Christopher, you both know Terry. Talk to him about it, and see if it's worthwhile for Kanju mob now to maybe say to this union mob, well, we should be number 3 in the state that has an arrangement with the unions where they support you with the advice and the resources and all that kind of thing for no cost for you mob. You know.
Yep.
Because this is exactly what they were talking about. They were talking about countrymen having to deal with government, parks and wildlife and different mobs, but not really understanding the fine print, not really understanding what they were getting into and what they was missing out on, you know?
Yep.
So you think that sort of thing would be of value, eh?
Oh, excellent, Brush, yeah.
Hmm. Well, I'll follow up on that one and try and put I'll get this union mob. I'll give them a phone number and they can call you, and I'll give you a number where you can call them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good on, Bush. No worries.
Get that followed up. Yeah. All right. Well, any idea on what the date for when you go back onto country and have the proper ceremony there?
Early dry because of,
Okay, so that could be April. That could be April, May, March, April?
Yeah, June somewhere.
June, yep, right, yeah, gotcha, middle of the year, yeah.
Yep.
You might get a little...
We have our first annual meeting in Cairns early February.
Right.
So we'll get mob up and we'll start talking about all this sort of stuff now.
And you have formed the Batavia Traditional Owners
Aboriginal Corporation,
eh?
Yep.
That's the one where you chair for him?
Yep.
You're the chairman, yeah. No, well, they've got good, strong chairman. They're just in talking to you for the last half hour. Brother, you're the man for the job, and it's really good to see you being able to articulate your history, the experiences of your grandfather and grandmothers and your people, and articulate the where your mob should be going and what you want to do and how you look at it. You're not totally overcome with sorrow and sadness because of all the negative stuff. You can see positives, which is really good, yeah. Well, my brothers, it's been good. Is there anything else you want to add, you want to say?
Not much.
Thanks very much for the opportunity to tell the rest of the Australia and other countrymen what's going on with us mob, and beware of the negative and positive.
Yes, yes. All right. And Christopher, Stephen, thank you for joining us from Palm Island.
Yeah, thanks, Tag. You have a Merry Christmas to you and your family, eh?
Oh, yes. And you fellas, you have Merry Christmas and a Black New Year.
And also to Brother Chris there, to all the family up that way.
Yeah, you too, and all the Palm Island mob.
All right, my brothers, all the best for Christmas, and stay strong, Stormwall. You don't need me to tell you you're strong. You're strong already, so it's good on you. You keep it up.
Thank you. All right.
Stay with the fight. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah.
There we have two traditional owners, Stephen Boyd, talking from Palm Island, Kanju Man and Kukuyalanji Man, and Christopher Dean, Kanju Man, talking from Lockhart River. He's got a grandfather that can still tell him the stories of what happened in 1933. That old man was born in 1911. He was 12 years old. So he carries a lot of stories, that old man. And he was present. He was bussed down from Weeper to Cairns to Gordon Vale, along with other elders. They were bussed down. How bloody outrageous is that? People of that age. Yeah, the story of the Gurindji. Another walk-off, another strike at another point in time in our history. Vesti mob. They ran all a big mob of the pastoral leases throughout the country. And the Gurindji mob. I think it was 66 strike when they said enough's enough, we leaving. We're not working for you pigs. We leaving. So there's strong mob still. Always was, always will be, right across this country. And if you've got a comment, 3892-0188, what are your thoughts on this Native Title stuff? Have you got an experience? Something positive, something questionable, something that might be a bit of sadness? There's certainly a lot of sadness, though. I mean, most Native Title agreements, whatever is handed over by government, will never be what rightfully the entitlements of First Nations people will never be our true entitlements. Will always be second best, can only be second best. Because when the settlers came to this country, they came with no good intentions. They came with no good intentions. Think about that. When Cook and Philip and their mob, when they come here, they came with no good intentions. They came to build a penal colony. Is that good intentions? Got a caller on the line. G'day. Bit noisy there.
There you going, Tiger.
Who we got?
Mate, it's Chris.
What would you like to say, Chris? Quite noisy where you are.
Yeah, mate, I'm in my truck, mate. That should be a little bit better for you.
We can put up with that. What would you like to say?
Well, you know my background. It's Chris the drummer anyway. But, look, I'd just like to say I've listened to your chat this morning. And, you know, coming from a confused background, you know, it saddens me to think that that's the sort of thing that went on, and that, you know, one side of my ancestors had something to do with it. And, you know, I really feel sorry for what happened to those people.
Yeah, no, it's good that you can feel that, you know, you can feel that. You're human, you're sensitive to that. But it's not just went on, Chris, it's continuing today. For those old people of 100-odd years of age to be bussed from the west coast of Cape York across to the east coast, that's criminal.
Yeah.
So it's happening today, it's still there. And then they were placed behind locked gates, Chris.
It's still happening.
Isn't it sad? They either was locked in or locked out at the ceremony, at the celebration. They was on private property where there was a chain and a lock on the gate.
Uh-huh. And, you know, it's time that the rest of Australia, everybody in Australia, stood up and said, look, you know, this has got to stop, you know. It's not cattle we're talking about. It's human beings.
That's right, brother. Yeah. No, it's and well, look, the biggest part of the problem is that people don't know, and it's and we are very fortunate to be able to hear the stories of these people. You know, the people like our two guests this morning, Stephen Boyd, Christopher Dean, to hear their stories. We are very very fortunate to be able to hear their stories.
Oh, I consider myself privileged to be able to hear the stories. You know, you don't hear those stories because nobody wants, the press doesn't want to tell them.
That's right.
You know, the wider, you know, the press doesn't want to let the wider community know the history of the true history of Australia and what's actually still going on.
Yes, no, they've got a lot to answer for, but it's good that people like yourselves are sensitive enough to feel that, you know, this is wrong and it needs to be corrected. So, thanks for your call, brother. It's good to hear from you.
Mate, just like to say sorry to everybody that my ancestors has had any infliction on, and if I could do something about it, I would, you know. But
you
what
keep
can
talking.
I do? You know, I just, you know, all I can do is lend my support.
That's it, mate. And you talk to family, talk to friends, and let people know. All people need to do is learn the true history of this country. You've already touched on it. Learn the true history of this country. And
yep.
And for you to encourage that and to promote that and embrace that concept, you're doing something. So I appreciate it, brother. Good on you.
No worries.
Merry Christmas to you.
Day. Yeah, you too, buddy.
Right, mate. See ya.
Bye.
Good one, Chris. And you often hear Chris call in to the Brekkie Show, so... You know, it's one thing about country music or this station and the listeners, they tune in for hours at a time. It's not the usual thing with radio. When those radio surveys are done, you know, they'll pick out your day pass. You listen for this 15 minutes or that 15 minutes or whatever. It's not that often that, I suppose I'm talking about the commercial radio scene. It's a different breed of animal, a different beast. But we're fortunate. We've got people that tune in for hours and very loyal listeners. And we do appreciate you, Mop, the loyal listeners. We do appreciate you. It's great that you're on board with us. The issue of Musgrave Park. That's a sad and sorry state of affairs, where the tent embassy being removed. There's division in the community. That's not unusual. What community doesn't have division and conflict? What community? I don't know of any. But there is conflicting views. And where a number of people identifying as elders meet with the Lord Mayor and say that it's time for the embassy to be moved, removed, shut down. And for others in the community to say, well, no, it's not right. There's a role for that embassy. I think there is a way of working things out, and that's what needs to be done now. There needs to be a concerted effort within the community to sit down and talk, because there is a role for that tent embassy. There is a place for it. It can serve the purpose, as I've said for a long time, since it was first established here in more recent times, it was first established over the last 3 or 4 months. There is a purpose as a place. It serves the purpose of being an information centre. It needs to be. And I think it needs to be a place where people can visit, can engage in a comfortable environment where they don't feel threatened, they don't feel intimidated, be they First Nations, mob or settler society. It needs to be. I'm not saying that it was or it wasn't. I'm saying there is a role, there's a place, and it can be, it can serve as an information centre. It can serve as a talking circle, as a meeting place for all of us to become better informed, to become more aware of situations around us. It can be that place, and I think that's something we need to work towards with those that are opposing and those that are supporting. We need to be sitting around. This is a community issue. And we need to be sitting down as community and resolving this. I've got a caller on the line. Welcome to the program. Who have we got?
Good morning, Tig. It's Auntie Valda. And I'm ringing in relation to the tent embassy.
Yes, Aunt.
I was one of the elders who asked for that tent to be removed in its present state.
Yes, Aunt. Yep, Yeah, I'm aware of a number of people that were there, yeah.
Yes, yep. So, and...
it's good that you called in, yes.
I'm a proud black woman. Always have been. But what I could see what was happening there in the tent, there was no one there at the embassy itself, but there were a lot of other people that were there drinking, on drugs, young people sniffing out of bottles under their shirts.
Yeah.
And it was a bad scene.
That's not the sort of thing you want at an embassy, eh?
No, it's not. It was supposed to be one tent and two smaller tents for the people who slept there at night.
Yep. Do you see it being a place where it can be, it does need to be managed and controlled and managed properly?
It has to be. Yes, as was envisaged at the first, at the start of it.
Yes.
But then it was for every man and his dog. You come to town, you come up there, you can get a feed, or not so much a feed, but you can come and camp there.
Mm.
And that's what it was, like a big camp.
Yep. What do you see then? What would you like to see? Or how do you think it could be? Like I was saying, it should be that meeting place, that talking circle and things. What do you see it could be? I mean, do you see that there is a purpose and that it could operate in
for
a better
way? For the embassy, yes, there should be a place in a building where they can work from there.
Mm.
And perhaps they can have the tent, just a symbol of what happened all those years ago at the tent outside. And where people can just come freely and talk.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people interested in it.
Has not the mayor
go all together?
That's right. Hasn't the mayor Quirk offered some space at Jagera for that sort of?
He sure has.
Right.
All those things.
Yes.
He's been very good. And you know, we got to accept the things that they give us. And he's a very special man, Graham Quirk.
Well, he's come out, and
I
agree with you, because I haven't heard any Lord Mayor. Jim Sawley was regarded as a friend of our mob. I haven't heard any Lord Mayor, including Sawley, say, I'd like to see First Nations community have management rights and control over Musgrave Park. That hasn't happened to us before, has it?
No, but he was giving, I'm not sure about the whole of Musgrave, but it could lead to that.
He's talking about Jagera, that's right. No, he's talking about Jagera in the initial stages and then saying, well, when that's worked out, it can go on to the whole park.
Yes, that's it. Yes, he did say that.
I do agree that he's stepping out into uncharted ground that we haven't heard before, we haven't seen before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we, as the Aboriginal people here in Brisbane, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people here in Brisbane, have to go along with what he's offered us first. When they see that we can manage these things and do the right thing, who knows what's going to happen in Musgrave Park. It'll be long to us.
Exactly. And there's no compromising of our principles either, is there, really? It's just a matter of being sensible and maintaining our own integrity and credibility and upholding those thousands of years old traditions and culture and values.
Yes, like our people heard before, how they're going back onto their land. You know, this has got to happen. But with the traditional owners, I just come here and lived here for a certain number of years, but it doesn't make me a traditional owner of this area. Because I'm very strong about who I am and the people that I live and work with every day.
Art, I've got to go. I've got the news on. I had to catch it off.
Brother,
but thank you.
It's good to talk with you, but let you know that we can do anything. We walk together strong.
Of course we can. Righto, Aunt.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.